here. He's on the other side of the world because he's an omnipresent God. Amen. When you're in trouble, wherever you are, all you have to say is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, our topic is about the coverings, and we're going to be looking at this week the tabernacle model. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. So what I was telling you, I need to be covered. I need to be covered. There's nothing scarier than feeling that God is not covering you. But if God is covering you, no matter how the situation looks, amen. It doesn't matter how the situation looks. If God is your cover, if he is your shield and great reward, it doesn't matter how desperate the situation looks. I've been in some desperate situations, but God has never failed me, never failed me. He has always come through. Amen. Now, this scripture is to the church of Laodicea. There were seven churches called out in the book of Revelation that had special messages from God, from Jesus. And to this particular church, it said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The trouble with this church is they thought they were okay. There's nothing worse than not knowing you have a problem. Whether it be bad breath or BO. All you notice is that people keep going like this. And you keep coming closer because you don't want to make sure they hear what you're saying. It's nothing worse not knowing you have a problem. This church had a problem and they didn't realize it. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is there to help us check ourselves. Amen? The Word is there to help us check ourselves. Because the Bible says it's like a man beholding himself in a glass, in a mirror. I'm sure all you ladies, before you left your house, you checked yourself. Made sure there wasn't anything hanging off loose. Everything was in place. We need to do that with the Word of God. We need to do that with the Spirit of God to check ourselves. Make sure that we are okay. This church in Revelation, they didn't realize that spiritually they had BO. They had bad breath and they didn't know it. They thought they were okay. See, if you know you have a problem, you can do something about it. But when you're not aware you have a problem, you just go on your sweet way. Yeah, tell you what, if I got something sticking out my teeth, I will be glad for my wife to tell me. I will not be offended. So I hope if you got something spiritually sticking out your teeth, you don't mind if the pastor come and tell you. Not everybody can take that. Amen. Amen. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich and white raiment. This church was physically rich. They had the best looking building. They had everything new, but spiritually they were naked. So we need God's covering, and that's what we'll be looking at this morning. We're going to look at the tabernacle model because everything God planned to do, he already revealed it in the Old Testament through types and models. And just a little bit of review. When God first created man, we were a three-part being. We were a body, a soul covered with God's Spirit. And it's that Spirit that makes us a son of God. Amen. Without God's Spirit, the Bible says you are what? None of his. You have to have his Spirit to belong to him. Amen. So we see that the first covering was the Spirit of God. In John chapter 3, verse 3, if I was to sum up the total belief of what our core belief is, it's found in John chapter 3, verse 3, and John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, tell him, listen, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. And Brother Easter pointed that out, that you are blind. If you cannot see, what are you? He says, if you're not into the Spirit, if you're not born again, you are spiritually blind. That means you think you're okay, but you're not. He said it again in John chapter 3, verse 5. He explained it again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. As you know, there are many churches that teach that baptism has no salvation effect. It's just an added show. Well, I'd like to differ with you. That's not what Jesus said. He said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see. And then he said, you cannot enter. So those people who say you don't need to do that, it's just fine to hold up your hand to the TV screen and say some words. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And that Spirit is really a covering. We need a covering. If you didn't have skin, you know what would happen to you? You would die. Most people who are in fires, what happens when their life becomes threatened is not that the internal organs are damaged, it's just their skin. Because if you get a third degree burn over enough of your skin, you will die. Because not only does your skin protect you from infection, but it also keeps all of the bodily fluids in. So that most people who die in a fire, it's not because anything internal has been damaged. It's just their skin, their covering. Do you understand what that means? Without the covering, we too, spiritually, will be dead. Because it lets everything into our soul. And that's why it's so important to keep your covering in good shape. Amen? Amen? That means we take a spiritual shower. The Bible says, and I'm going to get to it, the washing of the word. That's why we come to church, because every time we hear the word, you know what it's doing? It's washing us, keeping us spiritually healthy. I told you about the story of this man who wanted to try an experiment. He was going to go a year without bathing or showering. Man, that must have been terrible. And in fact, even after he started bathing and showering, it took him 3 months to get back healthy. He became so sick, so sick. Can you imagine how it would be if we went that long without spiritually hearing a word? I need a word. I'm so glad for our revival because I got to sit down and be ministered to be encouraged, to be touched. Amen. We all need to have a word. So the covering that God wants to give us is His Spirit. Now in the Old Testament, it is shown in many different ways. It speaks about wings, and it models it like a covering of a hen. You know, when a hen is covering her chicks, what does she do? She puts the wings over. And we see that in the Old Testament, in Psalms 91, verse 4, it says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers." Now, it's not speaking that God literally has feathers, but it is symbolic of his protection. Amen. If you're under his protection, you're okay. Amen. That's where we want to be. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of his wings. That's what I'm talking about. We need to be spiritually covered. We need to be spiritually covered. And once we're spiritually covered, you know, the devil may try and get to us. The Lord may allow us to see a few things. But as it goes on to saying that psalm, you shall see it, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. We will be victorious if we are covered. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. Now, the translators translated the Hebrew word feathers, but it also has another meaning. And I've put that up if you want to get the notes. And it means corner, shirt, wing, extremity, skirt. And it's emblematic of a covering. A covering. So we have to be underneath God's covering. And if you are under his covering, despite what the devil will throw at you, despite what's going on, you're going to make it. When Noah went into the ark, he was covered. Do you know how many windows were in the ark? It wasn't like these ocean liners where you see it, nothing but windows. When God shut the door, it was shut. He was sealed in. Amen. We need to get into the ark of God's covering and stay put. Many times why we get into trouble is because we're not where we're supposed to be. We're somewhere else. We're out there naked, exposed, and many times we don't even realize it. That's why we have to check ourselves spiritually. Have I let the word minister to me? Have I let the word come into my life? Because the Bible promises us, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Amen. There's nothing better than knowing that God has got your back. Amen. There's nothing better than knowing that he is going to come through. And there's been some times, and you've heard my testimony before, where it's been so clear to me that I was at peace. Despite what was being presented to me, I was at peace. You know my testimony about the house when we moved here and how we were under a foreclosure threat for months upon months, more than a year and a half. And finally, they sent me a letter saying that they had declined our application and they were going to move ahead with the foreclosure. But you know, God had already told me that that was not right. So I looked at the letter and I said, no. Here I am looking at a letter declining in black and white what God told me. So you know what? Who's right? Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the word of the Lord. And I don't want to bore. Some of you have heard it before. So I just called them up. I called up the bank and I said, hey, this is wrong. And they said, yes, this is wrong. Amen. They sent me a letter saying that they're going to foreclose. And I have to find that letter somewhere. And I called them and said, hey, this can't be right. They said, no, this is wrong. We don't know why they sent that out to you, but you have been approved. And I don't want to tell you all the blessings, but God did miracle upon miracle. Amen. He wiped out $32,000 of arrears. Because when God has covered you, you are covered. Amen. If you have been bought from him, it says, buy from me gold tried in the fire. Now, how do you get that covering? He says, buy from me gold, how? Tried in the fire. The covering is going to cost you a little bit. It's going to cost you some endurance. It's going to cost you faith. It's going to cost you belief. It means that you're going to have to endure. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Paul in his epistles, he likened this to a race. And it's he that endureth to the end. You got to get to the end to be saved. You can't give up halfway. You can't just quit halfway. But if you will stay under God's covering, amen, he will take you through. Now we're going to look at the symbols in the Old Testament of this covering. When we, in the book of Ruth, we see the story of Ruth and Naomi. And when she came back to Bethlehem, and she started to glean in the field of Boaz, her mother-in-law told her, listen, what you need to do is go and lay at his feet. Lay at his feet. And let's read this story. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 7, it was the time of the harvest. Remember, I've taught about that. It was the time of the wheat and the barley harvest. And so the men were out in the field. They were up near the barn, sleeping in there near the reaping grounds. And in Ruth chapter 3, verse 7, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down and at the end of the heap of corn. Now, they call it corn, but it's really wheat. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Now, that may seem very bold and brazen, but that was the custom. Remember, in the Old Testament, the sign of covenant was what? The shoe. The shoe was the sign of covenant. When people had a covenant, they would exchange shoes. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that today? Especially with my feet. You wouldn't want my shoes. Amen. But in that day, they exchanged shoes. So her coming and laying at his feet, uncovered his feet, was telling him that she wanted to be under his covering, his protection. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. You know, you're asleep and suddenly you see this woman right at your feet. Think that might scare you, scare me. And behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. Now that word, that skirt, is the same word in Psalms 91 verse 4 that's translated wings. I'm just showing you that when it says underneath his wings, what it's really telling you is underneath his covering. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Amen. It means to stay in the place God has put you so he can cover you, so he can protect you. So when a woman was going to get married, this was part of the ceremony, that ceremonially he would cover her. That's why even today when a woman walks in, she has a veil, a covering, symbolic. And it's only her husband supposed to what? Uncover the veil. So she was in a covenant relationship. She said, I am Ruth thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt or covering over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. It was a sign of betrothal. When we are married to Christ, he's going to cover us. Amen. He is going to cover us. I want to be covered. Amen. I don't want to be that like that Laodicean church to be found naked, thinking I'm okay, but I'm really got some bad breath, got some bad BO. I want to be covered. I want to be washed. Amen. Because when you are covered, you're under protection too. You know what? The devil is going to have to come up like Job and say, can I have at them? And God may say, well, you know what? I'm just going to let the crack open just a little bit so that they can see how much you want to kill them. Sister Johnny, the devil would have liked to kill you yesterday, not have you walk away. The Lord just allow the curtain to be pulled back just a little bit so we know sometimes how much God is protecting us. Amen. How much he is covering us, Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I was just thinking about when I actually saw him coming, I actually started to pray. I said, Lord, you see him coming. I said, cover me, Lord, with the blood.
Amen. Amen. Man, I have been in, I think, two serious accidents, and thankfully there's been many, many years ago now, but either one of them could have taken my life, and it was just the Lord's mercy and grace that covered me. I am Ruth thine handmaid, and spread therefore thy skirt. Now she was the one that took the initiative. Notice that. She went and did what? Lay at his feet. Can you think of someone else who was at Jesus' feet in the New Testament? Mary. Mary hath chosen what? The better path. See, sometimes we want to be big and bad and think we can handle the situation. Let me admit, I cannot handle the situation. In fact, when the Bible says he won't give you more than you can handle, it means not more than you can handle, but more than you and he can handle. And how much can he handle? Everything. Everything. That's the key. See, it's not much more than I can handle, because I really can't handle that much. I would fall apart. I would panic. But when you're with him, he can handle it all. Didn't he say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden. Now, I know you don't have to put up hands. Some of us today are heavy laden. Some of us have got some things that are bothering us, that we're concerned about. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we talked about that Tuesday night, that rest is all about faith. That's how we rest, when we truly, and it's hard. It's hard because we can't see him physically. And yet we're supposed to just, okay, God, you got this. But if you can get to that stage, if you can get where you totally just lay back and trust him, amen, he will not deny himself. I said he has never, ever failed me. Never. Never. When I deserved it, when I really messed up, he's given me triple chances. I could think of some times going back 40 years to when I was in my teens, how many times God just gave me triple chances. I can't even tell you. Some of them were too embarrassing, but he gave me triple chances. Amen. God is so merciful and gracious, and if we will stay under his covering. So we see that in the Old Testament, that skirt was a covering. It was a place of protection. And in fact, God has given us many types of covering. As I said, our skin is a covering. The skin is the body's largest organ. Did you know that? It is classified as an organ. And when it gets damaged, then you're susceptible to all kinds of diseases. In fact, skin cancer is one of the worst cancers. When your skin gets damaged. So we have to make sure that our spiritual covering is in good shape. Now, in the Old Testament, we have a model. And in the journey, in the example of Abraham traveling from Ur of the Chaldees to the Promised Land, he traveled with a tent. He didn't have a permanent dwelling. That is a model for us. We shouldn't be so invested in this world that we are looking to You know, if you ask me my 10-year plan, I couldn't tell you. My only 10-year plan is, Jesus, please come. Even so, Lord Jesus, please come. Amen. Please come. I maybe it's not a good plan, but that's my only plan. My true retirement plan is heaven. My 401k isn't much to speak about because my real investment is in heaven. Isn't that what the scripture says? Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't get to it. So we see that when Abraham was on a journey, although he was a very rich man, he did not build himself a permanent house. Some of us get so invested in the material things. So when something bad happens, we're blown away. But if you're not so invested in the material things, it's not going to, like if the stock market crashed, I don't think it would hurt me too much. You know, because that's not where my investment is. My investment is where Satan can't get to it. So we see in the Old Testament that Abraham was not invested with his wealth, although he was a very wealthy man. That wasn't his big deal because he lived in a tent. And we see in Genesis 12:8 that he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord. You'll find instead of building himself a building, what was Abraham doing? Building an altar. That's what his investment was building an altar, not building himself a permanent house. Because do you understand that this tabernacle is temporary? And I've said it before, I probably will never get a six-pack down here. It's almost too late. Now, my middle son is really into keeping his temple in good shape. I was down there yesterday, and he looks in awesome shape. He's got it all going. In fact, he posted something on Facebook. I don't know if anyone saw it. And he's all guns. He's got it going. So all I could say is maybe he gets his genetics from his mother. Amen. He must get his genetics from his mother. But you know what? One of these days, I'm believing I'm going to get a supernatural, glorified body. Amen. See, this tabernacle is dust, and it's going to go back to dust. So that's why our investment, our concern should, yes, while we're here, we need to keep it clean. We need to keep it healthy, you know, because it's the only covering we've got. But God is more concerned about the home he's got prepared for you. In Genesis 3:19, after man sinned, he said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." That's why eventually, if we live long enough, guess what's going to happen? We're going to die. We're going to die. It's God's plan because he has got a better body for you. As I said, if you're driving around in a 20-year-old beat up, you know, rust bucket car where if you put your foot down, it'll go through, and someone gives you a 2018 late model, you know, Tesla, which one are you going to drive? See, we need to be looking ahead. Because God has promised us a different covering, a different body. Isn't that right? I say it every week. I quote the scripture every week, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Do you believe that? Do you believe anyone been in a mansion? You ought to, next time they have the tour of Milwaukee, you know, sometimes they have these million-dollar mansions. You should just go and just realize that this is going to be nothing. Should tell the realtor, yeah, not bothered about that. I got somewhere, knock this one. This one would just fit in my foyer. This one will just fit in my foyer. Because that's what Jesus told us. In fact, if you understand the dimensions as given in Revelations, it's 1,500 miles, the heavenly Jerusalem, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles. That's 3 billion cubic miles of space. Amen. So my 1,100 square foot apartment, that's just the bathroom. That's the closet. When we understand what God has got prepared, the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard." But it is only really understood through faith. When you catch a glimpse of heaven, nothing else will matter. I pray that God gives us all a vision of heaven. If we ever had a vision of heaven, we would be so excited. We'd be going like, wow, I can't wait. Now, my father tells the story when he first got saved, how he had a vision of heaven, and he was seeing it, and I don't know, someone shook him and brought him back down. He was so upset to find out it was just a vision. You know, they say, or I've heard it said, that the reason why Jesus wept before he brought back Lazarus was because he knew where Lazarus was. And it was worse to come back here, because if you understand the story, and this is what the tradition, the story says, Lazarus was living with who? Martha and Mary. And the story is that the reason why was that his wife and children had died. And when Jesus brought him back, he was taking him from his wife. That's why Jesus wept. I'm telling you, if we could get a glimpse of heaven, nothing down here would matter. Nothing. This is just temporary. That means all your aches and pains are just... I will, as I said, I'm never going to get a six-pack. I'm so glad that my son is able to do that. God bless him. I don't have the time or the willpower. Amen to do that. But you know what? I have got a mansion coming. I have got another covering coming. Amen. Amen. Now, God showed this in the Old Testament by giving instructions for the tabernacle. And I touched on this last week, but I wanted to go into it in more detail. Moses just didn't make up the tabernacle the way he wanted to. He didn't just say, okay, we'll take this part here, we'll do this. No, God told him exactly how to build it. In Exodus 25:9, it says, "According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall he make it." He was told expressly how to make it, because God in the Old Testament, in all of the ceremonies and in everything he did, was setting up a model. And the model of the tabernacle is, in fact, our bodies. So you can learn something about your body in studying the tabernacle. And we're going to be looking at this right now. The tabernacle, again, was a temporary building. It was what they used to get from where to where? Where had they come from? Egypt. Where were they going? Canaan. Where have we come from? We've come from sin. And where are we going? Amen. Glory, heaven, however you want to put it. Do you understand then that this is our temporary tabernacle? It's not permanent. It's not the finished thing. I'm so glad I'm not the finished thing. This is just a temporary work. You haven't seen me yet at my perfected glory. I haven't seen you yet at your perfected glory. Amen. Because God's got a covering for you yet to be revealed. So it was only for the journey. Do you understand then that this covering is only for this earthly journey? Amen. We have something yet to be revealed. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul explains this. He says, "For we know..." And there's that word of faith again. "For we know." You have to say that. "For we know." Do you know? Yes. Come on, let's say it together. "For we know." For we know. Amen. "That if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," even if I was to die, all it means I inherit sooner. That's all it means. I get my inheritance sooner. That's all it means. Amen. "We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." All of you who are going through some pain, who the doctors say you've got some problems with, don't worry. This is just the temporary tabernacle. This is not the permanent covering. Amen. Amen. I went into Best Buy yesterday. I went up to the counter and the guy said to me, and I don't know where he got this from, though it is the second time someone has told me, he said, "You look like Muhammad Ali." And I said to him, I don't think so, but maybe some part, maybe if I turn this way and just do a certain angle, maybe I look. Because he's the second person told me that. And I thought, well, I have met him and he's taller than me and I, you know, probably better looking than me, but thank you anyway. But you haven't seen the finished me yet. I haven't seen the finished you yet. Because we are going to be covered with the glory of God. Amen. See, God showed this in how he told Moses to build the tabernacle. It was built according to God's plan. Exodus 25:9. So the first part was called the outer court. And he told him exactly how to make that. And it was to have, as I said, the brazen altar, which is the place of sacrifice. When we first come to God, we have to come and we have to come to a place of sacrifice. Then the next part was the laver, the brazen laver, where the priests washed. Once we have repented, then we get baptized. We get our sins remitted. And so that was all called the outer court. And as I said, that part was not covered. It was just a tent wall, and it was open. Then the next part was called the holy place. And that was the inner tent, and that was where there were three pieces of furniture. As you went in, on your left was the candlestick, the golden candlestick. And on your right was a table where there was 12 loaves of bread, called the bread of his presence. And then right in front of you, right next to the inner curtain, was the altar of incense. Those were the only three things that were inside the holy place. Do you know what's missing? Tell me something that's not in there. What can't you do in there? Well, you could touch if you were a priest, but there's something else you can't do in there. What's missing? That if I went into your living rooms, what would the first thing I'd see? TV. No, there was no TV. Well, no, there was the candlestick. The candlestick provided light. What's in your living room? Sorry, what did you say? That's right. There was no place to sit. That was not a place for sitting down. If I went in your living room, what would be, I assume you have a sofa. Some of us have plastic covered sofas. Maybe. When I was growing up, right, that was the Holy of Holies. You were not allowed to enter in there. If you went in there, you would get, just like seeing God, you would meet your end, right? That was the one place that was supposed to be clean and sanctified for the special guests. But when you went into the holy place, there was no place to sit down. I want you to understand that. So the priest had to be always standing up. Amen. That was the holy place. Then the last place was called the most holy place. And of course, no one went into there except the high priest once a year, and he only with the blood of the sacrifice. And in fact, we're coming up to that day. Anyone know what the day is called? We're coming up to in the Jewish feast, we're coming up to that day. No, not New Year. Come on, let's recite the feast. What's the first feast? First feast is Passover. Okay. No. Well, Easter is the modern name for it. But Passover, what's the next Jewish feast after Passover? It's the very next day. No, you're missing one. Unleavened bread. Okay. Then first fruits, which is when Jesus arose. Then you have 4 months, and then, sorry, 2 months, 50 days. And then what do we have? What's the church? Pentecost. Then you have 4 months. And then you have the next feast, which is, no, we had that already. We had it last week. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets. Then the next feast, for the Jews was the most important or the holiest one of all. And that's the one that's coming up Tuesday at sunset. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Only once a year on the Day of Atonement could the high priest go in before the Ark of the Covenant. And if the offering was accepted, Israel was covered. See, he could not go in until he had first covered for his own sin. And so this is the model that God gave for our bodies, that it's a three-part model. We have the outer court, which represents our body, the holy place, which represents our soul, and the holy of holies, which represents God's spirit. And so that is the model of our body. When we come to God, we become a son of God because we're a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now I want to show you that in this model of the tabernacle, only the soul part was covered. The inner court was covered. And as I showed last week, it had four coverings, which is very interesting because two of them you couldn't see. Because the inner two you couldn't see, because the outer covering was something that was waterproof and it was made of seal skin or badger skin. Then the next part was ram skin dyed red. Now, why would they dye it red since nobody could see it? It meant it had a symbolic meaning. We are covered by the blood. Do you see that? We're covered by the... Nobody could see it except when they took down the tent. So it was there, God told them. I can imagine them making the tent and saying, but God, no one can see the color. Does it matter? Yes, it matters. You better be covered by the blood. You may not see the blood, but you better be covered by the blood. You could not see it in the tabernacle because it was on the inside. Then the next covering was goat hair, which again represents the sacrifice. And then the inner covering was all the fine linen with embroidery, and that represents, of course, the righteousness. Now I want you to see that our soul was covered. In the Old Testament model, they had to be covered. The outer court, the flesh, the body was not covered. Because you know what? It's going to die. And it's God's plan eventually, if we live long enough, for this body to die. Because that's the only way you get a new body, right? You can't drive two cars at the same time, can you? No, you can only drive one or the other. You can't drive both at the same time. So when we die, if you die in Christ, if you're covered, if you have put him on by baptism, the Bible says you shall rise in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's the reason why God instituted death, because once man's flesh had become sinful, the only way to fix it was to give him a new body. And I'm cool with that. Amen. Maybe I'll be taller. Amen. Maybe I'll be taller. Amen. I don't know, but the Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And that blows my mind that you're going to be like Jesus. You're going to be like Jesus, covered with glory. Amen. Bible speaks about the glory that is to be revealed. And I know I've been saying this every week because I want us to get it. If you truly got this, you would have so much joy. If you truly believe this, that you're going to see him and that you're going to be like him, how could you be depressed? How could you be down? This is just a temporary thing we're going through. This is just a temporary thing we're going through. Amen. I'm going to get through my suffering. I'm going to get through my pain. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I was thinking on that note how the Lord spoke to me last week, and he said the glory comes through the fire. And I didn't think about, you know, like what that really means, but I kind of pondered on it. And it just means, you know, that with this world, it comes with a lot, you know, and the only way God is going to get the glory is for you to go through something.
Amen.
There's no other way to get the glory but for you to go through something and to pass the test as God have you to do it. So I was just thinking on that note that we will have tribulations in this world and we will have problems and situation. But the Bible says, you know, be not moved by your situations and your problems, but be overcome by the word.
Amen.
Let the word Amen. Help you to overcome.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I said that everything they did in the Old Testament was a model or symbol for future fulfillment. Now, one of the things they did every morning, 365 days a week, every day they had an evening and a morning sacrifice. Isn't that something? That means they needed over, 700 lambs a year to be sacrificed. And I've taught every year at Christmas the reason why Bethlehem was the sheep center for Israel, because it was only 5 miles from Jerusalem. And in fact, the shepherds that night were shepherds of the temple. They were raising the lambs for the sacrifice. You ever wondered why the angels appeared to those particular shepherds? It was because they were the ones raising the lambs for the sacrifice. And what the angel came to tell them, listen, the sacrifice has come. Hurry down to Bethlehem, because tonight is born the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So, what is the meaning of the daily sacrifice? In Numbers 28:24, God told him, after this manner ye shall offer daily. Daily. Daily means what? Every day. So remember what I said. Everything in the Old Testament is a model for fulfillment in the New Testament. Throughout the 7 days, the meat of the sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord, it shall be offered besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. So every day, a lamb was brought, a perfect lamb, without blemish. The priest would inspect it. It was tied up and it was laid on the altar. And at 9 o'clock, about the middle of the morning, it was sacrificed. And that was the morning sacrifice. And at 12, they would bring out the second lamb. And it was tied up and laid on the altar. And at 3 o'clock, it was sacrificed. And Jesus fulfilled this exactly. He was crucified at 9 o'clock. And he was on the cross and he didn't die till 3 o'clock. He fulfilled the morning and the evening sacrifice. And that Passover sacrifice is for the redemption of our souls. It was a continual or perpetual sacrifice. They did that every single day. Every single day, in addition to all the other sacrifices. So you have to ask then, if they did that every day, then why did they need to still offer any other sacrifices? And the reason is because, again, it comes back to our human nature. We are a three-part being. We're a body and a soul covered by his spirit. And Paul in Romans said, when he was explaining that when he wants to do good, sometimes he doesn't. Right, Sister Johnny? Yeah. You know, our flesh sometimes gets the better of us. We get mad. Let's be honest. We get upset. And we want to give people a piece of our mind. And we don't have the patience that we should. That's the flesh. Now, in our mind, we know better. So Paul said, with my inner man, therefore I serve the law of God. But with my flesh, sometimes I don't. When good is, I don't do it. When evil, I do that. So what I'm trying to explain to you is that's why there were these different sacrifices. The daily sacrifice was for the sins of the flesh. The sins of the flesh. And we need to do that every single day. Isn't that what Paul said? I die daily. I mortify. If you don't, it will get the better of you. Because until we get the redemption of this body, until we get the full covering, we got to deal with this flesh. Paul says, I know to do good, but that I don't. And then finally in Romans 8, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because this death, this body is going to die. And it will kill you if you let it. If you give into it, if you don't walk according to the Spirit, it will kill you.
I was going to say, if you're not allowing the Holy Ghost to speak to you, then you're being controlled by the flesh. Because like I say, in the accident, I know I was being controlled by the flesh, but the Spirit spoke to me. I thank God for the Spirit, because other than that, I probably would have got myself in some trouble. So I thank God for the Spirit. So the only way the Spirit can speak to you is that you feed the Spirit with the Word of God, so that when it comes time to a situation,
amen,
then the Spirit will speak to you.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. What God was trying to show with these different sacrifices was the fact that there was a sacrifice that was there for the body. And that's why the daily sacrifice, it was for the sins of the body. So the Day of Atonement, which was once a year, though, was for the soul. That's why there was more than one offering. The daily sacrifice was for the body, the sins of the body. The yearly sacrifice, the atonement, was for the soul. Was for the soul. So let's look at that. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing by the word. That's why we have to come to church. That's why the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. Because when you come, your soul is getting washed by the word. That's why we don't have to baptize every time we sin, but we do have to have our feet washed. Amen? That's what Jesus was showing in the foot washing ceremony, that although you have walked through this week, any of you walked through this week and heard stuff and was just didn't want to hear it? See, that's what we need, to have the word wash us. In Ephesians 5:6, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice. So in the New Testament, we do the same thing. We're supposed to get up every morning and present our bodies a living sacrifice. We have to yield this body and say, God, you take care of my thoughts today.
Yes, Lord.
Because I don't know what I'm going to run into. Someone will say something. It's just going to happen. That's living in this world. There's no way you can run through on a sandy beach in barefoot and not get sand on your feet. Anyone tried that? You, next time you go to the beach, you run down the beach with no socks on and see if you don't get sand on your feet. And so what do you do as soon as you get off the beach? You just put on your socks the same way? No. At least you'll take your hand and try and dust it off. That's what we're doing. We are getting our feet washed. We don't have to baptize again, but the word. We're going to have a sermon today. That's going to wash us. Amen. Amen. So the daily sacrifice was for the sins of the body. I'm going to hurry. We're almost finished. So it was covering. It was a covering. Remember, this is about covering for the sins of the flesh. The Passover for redemption, or covering of the soul, delivered the soul from hell. And Pentecost was the covering of the soul by the Spirit. So we see that God had prepared a remedy for every situation that we need. Amen. And the atonement, the final atonement, is for fixing and finally giving us our final covering, that glorified body. That is what we are looking forward to. As Romans, I think, 8:20 says, for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now, to wit, waiting for the redemption of the body. My six-pack is coming. I don't know if it's a six-pack. Amen. Amen. It's probably not, but you know what? I'll be the best me I can be, better than they have for the Army recruitment. They say, be the best you can be. Well, the only way that's going to happen is when Jesus comes and I see him. Amen. And then I shall be like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you could stand with me. Amen. So we have been prepared to be a vessel for his glory. That's what God's ultimate plan. Amen. Any of you have children? All of you have children. Hold up your hand. Amen. Amen. And if I was to ask you why you had children, maybe you'll say, I don't even know. Maybe you, at this point, you'll say, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll say, I really wish I had not had children. But, I hope at some point you looked at that little baby and all you had was love. Maybe you can't explain it, but you wanted to give all the love you could into that little baby boy or girl. That's what God is looking down right now, and he would like to do. He wants to give you all his love and to cover you, just take you up in his arms and wrap you up and cover you. He has prepared us to be a vessel of his glory. I'm going to just read this and we're going to close. Romans 9:23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of his mercy. That's me. Which he had afore prepared. Do you know it says that you have been prepared for glory? Even us. I think we read these scriptures, but we don't really take them in and believe them. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in OC or Isaiah, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. God is calling you his beloved. John 3:2 wraps it up. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That is by faith. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. I tell you, if you were to meditate on that thought, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be like Jesus. I am going to be like Jesus. His glory is going to rest upon me. Hallelujah. For we shall see him as he is. What a promise. What a thought. Hallelujah. We're going to close this Sunday school for right now, but I want you to take away from this one thing. We're going to be like Jesus. If we put on that covering, if we are buried with him in baptism, filled with his spirit, and we endure to the end. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you right now for your word, for your spirit, Lord God.